Good morning. I'm excited to jump into God's Word this morning with you, and we're going to be looking at a powerful passage from the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to be talking about where it's going to be showing us where Jesus reminds us that we're all sent with a purpose. That's the name of the, that's the title, is we are sent with, or sent with a purpose. And you know, as followers of Christ, we're all sent with a purpose by Jesus to share the good news, to serve others, and to participate in God's mission. Remembering that all things are possible with Him by our side, that we are His ambassadors sent by His authority to the very ends of the earth. And as I was getting my message ready this week, I had a message all laid out, and yesterday I had to start over. That happens sometimes. But once I got this message together yesterday, I knew it was the right message, because Satan started. He started trying to throw all these blocks at me and all this stuff, and that's just the way he is. But you know, this message, it hits home for us who may have wondered, what is my purpose as a Christian? Or maybe you may ask something like, okay, now that I'm saved, what do I do? But thankfully, there's a lot of instructions and teachings on this very topic, from the Sermon on the Mount to the Great Commission. Jesus has a lot to say about how we are to live once our lives have been redeemed. And it's not just how we are to live, but who we are to live for. So think about this. Who are the people in your life that you live for? And maybe how would it feel to lay your life down for others? Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's, you know, Elizabeth hit the nail on the head when she was talking about Atlas. But Jesus loves us more than that. Maybe it's our church family. Maybe it's your work family. Would we be willing to lay our lives down for all of them? I would question that sometimes. And I was thinking here about, I guess most of you know that I've been in the fire service for 32 years, something, forever. It seems like. But I was just thinking, as I was getting this together, you know, the fire service especially, I can speak on it. A lot of the other emergency services I don't know a whole lot about, but the fire service, those people are willing to lay their lives down for people that may not even care for them, that don't care anything about them. But then to go a step further, I was thinking, and by no means this is not a political message, but I was thinking about the things we've seen happen with the assassination attempt on former President Trump. And I got to thinking there with the Secret Service, that's their job, is to lay their lives down for somebody that they may not even care about. So, you know, it's a joy that we can live in such a way that others may know the love of Christ through us. But as we'll see today, it all begins by being sent out with a purpose. So the main text comes from Matthew 9:35 through 10:8. And as we get ready to get started, I'm just going to jump in and read all those verses of Scripture, and then we're going to start breaking it down, hopefully. But the Bible says in Matthew 9:35, starting with 9:35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." How true is that today? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So then he goes on to, in verse 38, he says, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." And then 10:1, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. But these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter in any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." So as I mentioned earlier, it's not about how we are to live, but who we are to live for. You may have noticed in this passage that Jesus has compassion on those people he was interacting with. Those who were harassed and helpless, the sheep without a shepherd. And so it makes sense that if we are to live like Jesus, to follow him, and to learn from him, that we too would be purposed towards those who need to be reconnected with the chief shepherd. So my first point this morning is sent with a purpose. Title of the message is my first point: sent with a purpose. So as followers of Christ, we're not here on this earth just to exist or to go through life and go through the motions of life. Instead, we're here and we've been given a divine assignment by our Lord Jesus Christ to be his hands and feet in a world that desperately needs his love, needs his grace, and needs his healing. This idea is central to the Christian faith. It's a beautiful illustration of our passage this morning. So first and foremost, we must recognize that Jesus himself was sent with a purpose. As we've seen in verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news, and healing every disease and sickness. So his mission was clear: to bring the light of God's love and the truth to a world shrouded in darkness, and to offer hope and healing to those who are lost and broken. So Jesus' purpose was not only to save humanity from sin and death, but also to demonstrate the heart of the Father and to show us what it means to live a life of purpose and significance. So as Jesus carried out his mission, he was moved with compassion for the people that he encountered. It was mentioned that they were without a shepherd. So this is a powerful image that speaks to the deep need that exists within every human heart. We need that guidance. We need that protection. And we need that care. Jesus recognized that the people he encountered were not only physically sick, but in need of healing, and also spiritually lost, and in desperate need of a Savior. That's a picture of the world today. That's a perfect picture of the world today. There's evil running rampant in the world today. There's lost people everywhere. Like it said, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. We need to ask the Lord to send us, to send workers out into the harvest field. This is a call to action. This call to action wasn't only for the 12 disciples. It's for each of us that claim that we follow Christ. All of us are called to be workers in the harvest field. We're all called to be agents of God. We need to show His love and His grace in a world that's starving for truth and hope. Our purpose, just like Jesus's, is to bring the good news of the kingdom to those who are lost, to offer healing and restoration to those who are broken. In Matthew 10, we read that Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. But you know, that authority wasn't just given to them because of their own merit or abilities, but it was because of their relationship with Jesus and their willingness to follow him and carry out his mission. The same is true for us today. As followers of Christ, we've been given authority to bring healing and restoration to a broken world. Not because of our own strength or wisdom, but because of our connection to Jesus. He's the source of all power and authority. We have authority in Christ because he has authority, all authority to give it. So we can be sent in confidence because of who Christ is, what he's accomplished, and how he's proclaimed to build his church. So I was thinking about, you know, a little over a year ago, us partnering with New Life. We were sent out to help get that church started. And then I was thinking about our partner church in Troy, Life Point. I was thinking about them. And, you know, we're all in this thing together. We're all in this for the same purpose. It makes sense for us to all work together. There's not going to be separate people and places in heaven. It's all going to be one church. God's church. We've seen that new life started in Liberty. And we're continuing to help Life Point in Troy. So my next point is, the harvest is plentiful. And it really is. This is a reminder of the vast opportunities and responsibilities that we as followers of Christ have in sharing the gospel and serving others in his name. It's not about making a name for ourselves. It's about serving for God. This point comes straight from Jesus' words in Matthew 9:37, where he said that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. This statement speaks about the urgency and the importance of this mission that Jesus has entrusted us all in. If we only believe in him. There's countless people in this world who are in desperate need of hope, love, and salvation especially. And all that can only be found through Jesus Christ. The harvest refers to the multitude of individuals who are spiritually lost and in need of a relationship with God. And maybe you're here this morning and you never accepted Christ as your Savior. Today could be that day. Don't walk out of this place the same way you walked in. But as believers, we're called to be the workers who go out into the world, sharing the good news and inviting others to experience the life-transforming power of his love and grace. You know, we also recognize that the work of the kingdom of God is vast and varied. There's countless ways we can serve. We can serve in our local communities. You heard the opportunity that was done this past week, and the next opportunity next Saturday. That's one way that you can serve your community. You can also serve around the world, too. There's needs everywhere. You know, it may be evangelism. It may be discipleship. It may be acts of service. Or it may simply be living out our faith in our daily lives. I was thinking there, we may be the only Bible that the world sees. We may be the only Jesus that the world sees. We need to make it count. I'm speaking to myself too. I could do a lot better than I do. But you know, there's no shortage of opportunities for us to participate in God's work and to make a difference in the lives of others. And church, don't forget this, that we are not alone in this mission. Jesus has promised that he'll be with us every step of the way. And most of the time, he's went ahead of us and prepared the ground for us. He empowers us through the Holy Spirit to accomplish his purpose and overcome any obstacles that we may face. As we step out in faith and obedience, we can trust that God will provide everything we need to be effective and fruitful workers of his harvest field. The renowned Christian theologian and pastor John Stott once said that the highest of missionary motives is neither obedience to the Great Commission, important as it is, nor love for sinners who are alienated and perishing, strong as that incentive is, especially when we contemplate the wrath of God, but rather zeal, burning and passionate zeal for the glory of Jesus Christ. And this quote serves as a powerful reminder that our motives for participating in the harvest should be rooted in our love for Jesus and our desire to see his name glorified in the lives that we serve. Shouldn't be for our own glory. It should be for his glory. My last point is all things are possible with Jesus. And you know they are. All things are possible with Jesus by our side. When we surrender our lives to Christ and allow Him to work through us, there's no limit to what we can accomplish in and through our lives. The disciples were ordinary people, just like we were. Yet Jesus chose them to be His representatives on earth. He empowered them to do extremely extraordinary things in His name. This is a powerful reminder that God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I say this often, the only ability you have to have is availability. Make yourself available and He will use you. No matter what our background is, no matter what our past mistakes are, no matter how we look at ourselves, how inadequate we look at ourselves, Jesus can use us for His glory. If we're just willing to submit to His will and trust in His power. I think back when I accepted the call to ministry. And this is still not, I'm still way out of my comfort zone. I hate public speaking. I hate standing in front of people. But through Him, He's helped me get over that, and He allows me to do that, not for my glory, because believe me, I wouldn't be up here for myself, but it's all about Jesus. It's all about serving Him. It's all about being available to Him. He can use us for His glory if we're just willing to submit to His will and His power. And as we look at the miracles the disciples were able to perform, we have to remember that it was not in their strength or their ability to do any of these things. It was only through the power and the authority of Jesus that they were able to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, and drive out demons. This is a crucial effort, a lesson for us to remember as we seek to serve God and to make a difference in the world around us. We must rely on Jesus and His power and not our own. You know, sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the challenges and the obstacles that we face. Anybody with me? Because I do, a lot of times. A lot of times we doubt our ability to make a difference or to question whether God can truly use us or not. But we know that through Jesus, all things are possible. We can't limit ourselves to what we think we can do or not do. But we've just got to turn ourselves over to Jesus and allow Him to work in and through us. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 says, that now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Church, we can be confident that He will equip us with everything that we need to accomplish His will. It's not always going to be easy. We're going to face many trials and many difficult situations. But you can rest assured that Jesus is with us every step of the journey. He's empowering us to do the impossible in His name. So let us boldly embrace the calling God has placed on our lives. Trusting that Jesus is by our side, all things are truly possible. So in closing, Jesus has called each and every one of us to be workers in the harvest field. We are all sent with a purpose. And we've all been given the authority and the power to do increasing incredible things in His name. Don't limit yourself to what we think we can do on our own, but instead, trust in Jesus. Step out in faith. Get out of your comfort zone, knowing that He will work through us to accomplish the impossible. In verses 5 through 8, Jesus provided clear instructions to the 12 disciples about what they are to go and do. They're to go to the lost sheep of Israel, proclaiming the message that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Can we say that this morning? Can we say that the kingdom of heaven has come near? They were also called to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse those who have leprosy, and to drive out demons. Those instructions reveal the heart of Jesus and His mission to bring hope, healing, and restoration to those who are lost and broken. So as followers of Christ, we too have been given a specific mission to carry out in our world today. The heart of our purpose remains the same, to bring the good news of the kingdom of those who are lost, and to offer healing and restoration to those who are broken. As we've seen this mission, it takes many forms. Sharing the gospel with a neighbor or a coworker, serving in a local ministry. Maybe your call is to travel to another country on a missions trip. Regardless of what your call is, we're all called to serve. And our purpose remains the same, to be agents of God's love and grace in a world that desperately needs it. Go ahead and have the worship team to come on up and start getting ready. But just remember that we are not called to carry out this mission on our own, but instead, we're to rely on the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, Jesus promises His disciples that the Holy Spirit will teach them all things and remind them of everything He has said to them. The same is true for us. And as we seek to live out our purpose as followers of Christ, we can trust that the Holy Spirit will empower us and equip us for the work that lies ahead. So go boldly into the abundant harvest. And remember, it's not just how we are to live, but who we are to live for.